Hi, we're live on the radio right now, and we went down the hall from the studio, where in the studio B we have here is the Screaming Trees, and I want to all welcome you to WNEW-FM. It's nice to have you aboard, guys. All right, we need to introduce everybody to the Screaming Trees a little bit. You see, because actually you guys have been recording for several years now, right? A lot of people don't know you yet.
Correct, sir.
I am correct, sir. Thank you. What is this, your 150th record? No, it's actually your...
Sixth. LP, yeah.
LP, okay. And how long has this band been together?
Since the beginning of time.
Yes, which goes back about 7 years, right?
Yes, seven.
I got you, okay. And Mark and Van, you guys were the ones that originally met. That was the beginning of the, of this band, is that true?
That's correct, sir.
I feel like, you know, I'm on, you know, to tell the truth here, you know. We should be flipping cards or something here. All right, well, okay, you're all standing with your instruments in hand, so to speak. So how about we do some live music here on the radio? Do you want to get some going here? All right, ladies and gentlemen, in the New York metropolitan area, it is with great pleasure that I bring to you live on the radio here, the Screaming Trees.
That was a band I started with some other guys from my hometown who were the only guys I ever met in all the years I was listening to music before I met them, which was several, that even knew the kind of music that I listened to. And really, as far as I know, we're the only guys in that town that listened to the kind of music that I did. And we became a band because those guys knew how to play instruments. And because I worked for their parents, they decided I would be the singer.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. So kind of in the same way that a very diverse set of bands like, say, Pretty Boy Floyd, Kix, Enough's Enough, Saigon Kick, Four Horsemen, all those bands, very different bands, but they were all lumped together in the late 80s as hair metal. And in the same way, in the early 90s, a wide variety of bands were all lumped together as something that came to be called grunge. And one of the real outliers in that group of bands that came to be called grunge was a very 70s rock and even psychedelic inspired band. They were from Ellensburg, Washington, a small town 107 miles east of Seattle, a band called Screaming Trees.
Wait until the bitchin' and it always lay up. All the liquid fingers and a bloodshot stare. Screaming like the wind and it's just saying, how you want to fall away from everything. Oh, I know you've already gone in the direction of the sun. In the direction of the sun.
Screaming Trees was formed in 1985 by brothers Van and Gary Lee Connor and singer Mark Lanigan, and all three of them had parents who were teachers. As the story goes, the Connor brothers were nerds and Lanigan was a jock, but they liked the same obscure types of music, and so when Lanigan's supposedly promising athletic career was cut short when he fell off a tractor drunk one night and broke both of his legs, Lanigan had to adapt his future plans, and that's when he hooked up with the Connor Brothers, and the band was formed. They named themselves after a legendary guitar pedal with a high threshold for sustain and distortion and a boosted signal. It was called the Screaming Tree. Even though Screaming Trees came to be lumped in with the Seattle scene in the 90s, they actually released an EP and two albums before Sub Pop even existed. And originally, the band themselves, they identified more with the Olympia, Washington scene than the Seattle scene. Their first release was a six-song EP called Other Worlds that came out all the way back in 1985. Screaming Tree's first full-length album was called Clairvoyance. Came out in 1986. It was released by the same label as the Other Worlds EP, a small local label called Velvetone.
Not in my world. Oh,
After Clairvoyance, the band did end up moving to Seattle, and they ended up signing with Black Flag guitarist Greg Ginn's record label, SST Records. Screaming Trees released three albums with SST, Even If and Especially When in 1987, Invisible Lantern in 1988, and Buzz Factory in 1989. Let's hear one song from each.
There's a ghost in my head and it's chasing me through my dreams. Oh, I want to take a trip today, take it straight to any place. I keep on riding, keep on rolling away. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm burning, baby, got no place to go. It's just a crawling through the weeds, the destination's on the road. Who doesn't listen strange? Some things never change. Some things never change.
In 1990, Screaming Trees released a killer EP on Sub Pop Records, famous Seattle label. The EP was called Change Has Come, and it includes some of the band's best work, in my opinion.
Oh, Change.
So at this point in the Screaming Trees story, and we're still talking pre-Nevermind here, Screaming Trees had managed to create enough buzz on college radio and in the clubs to land a record deal with Epic Records. Soundgarden already had a record out on A&M, and Facelift by Alice in Chains was already out, but the Seattle scene at this point still was not a nationally known phenomenon when Screaming Trees' Epic Records debut, Uncle Anesthesia, which was co-produced by Chris Cornell, came out in January of 1991. Despite including great songs like Bed of Roses and Alice Said, Uncle Anesthesia went virtually unnoticed. As singer Mark Lanegan said, "This was way before the alternative thing, so the label didn't know what to do with it. There was no market for the record. The only thing they could think of was to market it as a metal album. The whole experience was just torture."
Late, I need a nap.
So at this point, Screaming Trees lost their manager, stopped practicing, drummer Mark Pickerel quit, and as Lanigan put it, we weren't really a band in any sense of the word. But in the meantime, the Seattle scene that they'd helped create was about to explode into the national consciousness. So the band came back together with a new drummer, Barrett Martin, and they made another record. As Lanigan put it, we decided we wanted to make a real classy record with no fucking around. We set a goal for ourselves and we achieved it. The appearance of Nearly Lost You on the Platinum Singles soundtrack gave the band its biggest exposure, and the resulting album, Sweet Oblivion, which came out in September of 1992, almost went gold. I'd have to say, the only reason the album wasn't more successful, considering the time it came out, was that no matter how it was marketed or what other bands they were associated with, Sweet Oblivion is just a classic-sounding rock and roll album. Very 70s inspired. Beneath the surface veneer, very little about it fit with grunge or alternative. It was closer to the Black Crowes or even, God forbid, something like the Spin Doctors. It was more in that vein. What I'm trying to say is, all of the people who were buying up the Alice in Chains and Stone Temple Pilots records and Tool and whatever else, they weren't really looking to buy records that sounded like they came out in 1975, like Sweet Oblivion. So the Screaming Trees tried to make a follow-up to Sweet Oblivion with the same producer, Don Fleming, but it didn't work out and they ended up scrapping the whole album. They then hired another producer, George Draculius, and they ended up making another album called Dust, which came out in July of 1996, and Kerrang! Magazine actually named it the best album of that year, but that kind of recognition did not translate into record sales.
Thank you.
So not long after Dust was released, Epic Records dropped the band, but they still wrote and recorded one more album in 1998 and 1999. They recorded the album in Pearl Jam guitarist Stone Gossard's home studio, but there was no label to release it, and the band broke up in 2000. That album was finally released as Last Words in 2012. Drummer Barrett Martin released it on his own label, Sunyata Records. So that's the story of Screaming Trees, a classic rock band caught in the middle as the tide turned from hair metal to grunge. Mark Lanegan has gone on to have a long solo career and done a lot of collaborations, including working with Queens of the Stone Age. Gary Lee Connor has a band now called Microdot Gnome, and Van Connor has a band called Valis. Barrett Martin has gone on to have a long and varied career. I'm not sure what the Screaming Trees legacy is, but they were a very cool band. They were overshadowed by their peers. They were an individual band that didn't really fit in with anything else that was going on. And just in that time period, even though they were positioned for success, they were doing their own thing, and they weren't conforming to what might have made them more successful. if they had just made a more grunge sounding record, I suppose, which was not going to happen, but they definitely stand out as a different kind of band from that time period, with a distinct style and sound. They did their own thing, and they did it well.
Because when we started, I mean, it wasn't our job. We made, like, our first, like, four or five albums, you know, it was just like a hobby kind of thing. So, I mean, then when we signed to a major, it was still kind of a hobby, but we realized that, you know, well, maybe we won't have to have other jobs, we could just do this, make the hobby the job. So then I think that's when we finally decided just to start working a little harder at it. So it was cool being on the indies and doing it that way, but I think there's really no way we could have done it for a living on an indie label. For us, at least, some bands can, but just the way that we work and the way that I think our music is, it, being on an indie, just didn't really, we weren't able to make enough to live off or anything. And I mean, that's all we really want, is like just to be able to make enough to, you know, just have a halfway decent life. We'll be right back.
Be back.